When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Nuance Dragon Ambient Experience, or DAX for short. This is AI-powered ambient technology that helps physicians be more efficient and reduce clinical documentation burden. This is awesome technology. To learn more about how DAX Copilot can help reduce burnout and restore the joy of practicing medicine, ophthalmology, and other areas of medicine as well, visit nuance.com/discover DAX. That's nuance.com/discover DAX.
Knock, knock, hi.
Knock, knock, hi.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Knock, Knock, I with Dr. Glockenflecken. This is a spinoff of Knock, Knock, Hi. This is the time of night. I'm always recording this late at night. Oh, it's not late. It's late for me. I'm a 38-year-old. It is typically my bedtime by now. It's like 9:45 in the evening, but it doesn't matter. But this is the chance. The kids are in bed. I'm ready to talk about eyeballs. Let's do this. Whether or not you're listening on your commute, I've had a couple people email me like, this is great to listen to while I'm driving to work. Kind of surprises me, really. It's fine. I love being listened to. That's why I'm doing this for you guys. But this is what you want to listen to on your way to work? Eyeballs? You want to hear about gonorrhea, conjunctivitis? I haven't done an episode on that, but maybe I should. I don't know. Maybe just conjunctivitis in general. That'll be my most disgusting episode I've ever done. I hate conjunctivitis. Anyway, it doesn't matter what. If you're listening to this on your commute, at home, cooking dinner, I don't know, whatever. Maybe you just want to listen to this, listen to my voice as I drone on about eyeballs to help you get to sleep at night. It doesn't matter. I'm glad you're here because this is one of the only chances I get in my social media Glockenflecken life to really just get in depth, get in there, talk about those looking balls a little bit. So we are going to, before I get to the topic for today, I gotta talk about something that just has really kind of pissed me off over the past week. This is a topic that comes up probably once a year. I see this all over social media. I'm talking about eye color change surgery. Now, you guys know, as one of the most public-facing ophthalmologists out there, I hate using the word famous because I don't feel famous, but I guess for like a content creation ophthalmology person, I'm like the most famous or one of the most famous of those types of people. So anytime something bad happens to someone's eyeball, it gets sent to me like 1,000 times. And this was one of those cases. It made the rounds on social media where this poor young woman, I think she's a model. It happened, I think, in like 2018. But again, these things just resurface every so often. Someone's trying to generate clicks, so they write an article about something. I don't know. But this woman went to Columbia and decided to have a cosmetic surgery to change her eye color. And guess what? It didn't go well. You could have guessed that would be the case. Blindness, pain, glaucoma, just lost vision. And it's sad, and it always makes me so angry that there are people that do this. And for a long time, I always thought, like, why? What is it about eyes? Like, people do stuff like this to them. People just do stuff to their eyes. People get tattoos on their eye. They get ink. They go to a tattoo parlor and have somebody who I assume is not an eye surgeon, to inject ink underneath the conjunctiva to make their eye a different color, make the white of their eye a different color. People do this. People use urine eye drops to treat their various maladies. And I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. I even saw something about someone pierced their eyeball, which is giving yourself an open globe injury. It doesn't make any sense to me. People do things to their eyes. And I guess it's just because if it's the first thing people see, right? You meet someone, you make eye contact with them. Photos, videos, the eyes are such an important part of your face, maybe the most important part of your face, in my unbiased opinion. And so it's obviously going to be it's right there for cosmetic procedures. Like, people don't like the look of their eye in some way, or the eye color or whatever. They want to change the appearance of it. And so you get these unscrupulous individuals around the world that are willing to do outrageous things to people's perfectly healthy eyeballs. And eye color change is one of those things. So there's two ways that this is done. The first, and the way that this woman that made the rounds on social media this past week, I'm recording this January 7th, is she went to Columbia, and they did this surgery where they make the surgeon made a small incision in the cornea, which is okay. We're okay so far. I do that. We all do that. That's how eye surgery is done. Small incision in the cornea, but they inserted this silicone ring that has color to it that's designed to sit on top of your iris and produce a different color. Basically, so it's not changing your iris, at least, you know, at first. It doesn't, your iris, you got this, like this woman, she had brown eyes. She still has brown eyes. She still has an iris there, but they just put this colored silicone ring in front of it. So you don't see your natural iris. You just see this silicone ring that has this gray color to it. The problem is, you're putting a foreign body that has not been tested very much, I assume. It certainly wouldn't pass. It's not FDA approved in this country. It's not, like, nobody does this type of color change surgery in the U.S. And I don't know where else you can get this done. But and so you have this foreign body that's being put into the eye, and the eye doesn't like when that happens. All right. Now, we do that with cataract surgery, but those implants we've talked about cataract surgery, have been tested. They are inert. They don't cause any reaction. Where we put them is important in the eye to prevent any kind of chafing or inciting any inflammation, which is exactly what happened with this iris implant that this woman had. It caused a ton of inflammation in the eye. The eye doesn't like getting inflamed. It doesn't want to have inflammation in there. And then it produced glaucoma, because that can happen when you get lots of inflammation in the eye. Glaucoma leading to optic nerve damage, blindness. She's lucky she didn't lose her eye. And it just didn't have to happen. That's the thing. That's the first way that this is done, and by far the worst way to do this. Both ways are bad. Like, this should never be done. This should not be a cosmetic procedure. The other way, unfortunately, is something you can actually find in the U.S. Yeah, you can just Google eye color change surgery, and you can find people in New York and L.A. who will do this for you. It's called keratopigmentation. It's injecting dye into your cornea, kind of right over where the iris would be. So when someone looks directly at you, they would see this injected pigment in the cornea. Again, it just sits, basically it's in front of your iris. So it's like blocking your natural iris. A permanent thing, like you only get one cornea. You only get one eye. You don't do stuff like this. I don't know what it is about the eye. Like, the eye is an organ. You guys, it's an organ, like your heart. or your lungs or your liver. The eye is an organ, a very it's not a vital organ because you can live without them, but it's a very important organ. All right. Some would say me, the most important organ. Cardiologists may quibble with that a little bit, but I could make my case. And you don't go messing around with your organs. You should never do a cosmetic procedure that's untested, that's experimental, that you have to travel across the world to get. Someone's going to charge you $10,000. I don't know how much this thing costs, but to do this with an exceptionally high complication rate. You don't do that to your organs, okay? You can't grow more of those. You can't transplant an organ. You can transplant other organs. You can't transplant an eyeball. You can transplant a cornea, not the whole eyeball. So if you have a complication that causes glaucoma and blindness, you're kind of, that's it. That's it. You run out of vision. And there's a little bit of blame on the people that seek this out, I guess. But in the end, it's really on the people that are doing this surgery. Because, you know, who knows what the general public, people that seek this out, they've been told something or they've been marketed to. And people are susceptible to that kind of thing. And these are people that don't have medical background, who are just being told, hey, this is a great procedure. It's safe. You know, look at this. If you only, here's the fee. I'm happy to do this for you. I mean, it's just, and then they go for it. And so really all of the blame for this type of thing is on these doctors who do this to people. It's unconscionable. It's unethical. It's criminal, in my opinion. And I guess the point is just don't do it because your eyes are beautiful. I don't know who's listening to this. If you don't like your eye color, I wish you would, because I have dark brown eyes. My whole family does. And I mean, especially like I look at eyes all day, and dark brown eyes are beautiful under the microscope. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And then, I don't know. I just don't understand why you'd want to change that. It's just don't change your eye color. Okay. They're perfect. Your eyes are perfect. All right. Let's take a break. I had to get that off my chest. I hate that of all the things that I see people do to their eyes, the eye color change surgery is the most heartbreaking because it just doesn't need to happen. It should never happen. And nobody should do this. And the people that do it should go to jail for it. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Hey, Kristen, doesn't it seem like AI can do anything?
It seems that way. It's right? Everywhere.
It is. But have you heard of Precision?
No, tell me.
This is the first ever electronic health record integrated infectious disease AI platform.
That sounds fancy,
but
what
really
does it mean?
Really exciting. So for any specific patient, it takes all the patient's clinical data and automatically highlights better antibiotic coverage in real time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it empowers clinicians to save more lives while also working more efficiently and quickly. To see a demo, go to precision.com/KKH. That's precision spelled with an X instead of an E. So precision.com/KKH. All right, we are back. And I'm going to stay on like the eye color thing and talk about the iris for the next like 10 minutes. All right. We're going to learn about the iris. I don't really have a case for you today. I just thought, you know, the iris, it's a cool part of the eye. It's interesting. People have a lot of questions about the iris. So I haven't planned out a whole lot of what I'm going to say here, but I'm just going to just as I usually do in these episodes, let things fall out of my brain that just come to me about the iris. So this is what I know about the iris. Let's talk about the anatomy first. So we all know what the iris is, but where is it? Well, it's inside the eye. So we're going front to back on the eye. So the first thing is that clear covering, the cornea, right? Right in the front. If you get through the cornea, you're going toward the back now. First thing you're going to hit is your iris. All right. And there's a hole right in the middle of the iris. That's your pupil. So that black spot right in the middle, it's not really a hole in the iris. It's like the iris, just the way it forms, it ends up forming this pupil, this hole. That's like an aperture in a camera. You need that because that's going to allow light to get through to the back of the eye. You need that because you got to have that light land on your retina to send a signal to the optic nerve and through to your brain. So that hole in the middle of your iris is extremely important. The pupil is very important. And so what exactly does the, or well, I'll do a little bit more on the anatomy of the iris. So there's layers of tissue within the iris. It's actually a somewhat complicated structure. There's pigment, there's layers of pigment, which I'll get to in a second. There's also muscle in the iris. And there's stroma, there's other tissue in there, but probably the two most important things are the pigment and the muscles. There's a dilator muscle and there's a constrictor muscle. And so what's the purpose of the iris? Why do we have an iris? The most important thing is it just is because we need something that controls the aperture of our eye, which is like a camera, right? And so if you're in a dark environment, if you're at the movies, if you're walking around at night, you want as much light to be able to get into your eye as possible. So your pupil, the iris, is going to dilate. That dilator muscle is gonna activate. It's gonna open up that iris. Talking about cranial nerve 3. And it's going to allow more light to get in the eye. On the flip side, if you're in a really bright environment, you're at the beach, you forgot your sunglasses, don't worry, your iris has got your back, all right? It's going to constrict, also cranial nerve 3, it's going to constrict and close that pupil off as much as possible, really, really small pupil, to limit the amount of light that gets into your eye. So that's the main purpose of the iris, all right? It acts as it controls that pupil, dilates and constricts. It also does, there's other things with constricting, also allows you to accommodate. So whenever you're reading a book or looking at your phone or scrolling TikTok late at night, not only are you looking at something up close, which causes constriction of the pupil, but also the light from your phone is causing, you know, the constriction. And so that constriction of the pupil from the iris allows you to see a little bit better up close. Those are the main functions of the iris. And so now what gives the iris? This is the question, the question of the day, because I've gotten asked this question a lot. What gives the iris its color? Like, why does someone have blue eyes or brown eyes or green eyes, hazel? It's just a matter of how much pigment there is in the pigment layer of the iris. So those of us with a lot of pigment who have really dark brown eyes, all right, you got tons of pigment in there. It's all over the place. And so the light gets absorbed by that pigment and it reflects as brown. It's, you know, it's brown. People with with blue eyes, if you have blue eyes, you don't have a lot of pigment there. And so instead of the pigment absorbing that light, it gets reflected, it gets scattered. Kind of like how the gases in the atmosphere scatter light and causes it to appear blue to you. Similar thing with the eye. So there's not a lot of pigment to absorb light, so the light will scatter and it'll present to others and to yourself as a blue color. And if you have hazel or green or basically somewhere in between brown and blue, that's just varying levels of pigment. Maybe you have a little bit more pigment, and so you get more of a hazel appearance to your eyes. The most common eye color is brown worldwide. I think blue is after that. I want to say green is pretty rare. It's like 2% of people have green eyes, something like that. So that's eye color. Now, people can have different colored eyes. This is kind of cool. It's something called heterochromia. Heterochromia, where you have one eye that's lightly colored, one eye that's darker colored. The most common example of why this happens is with is with Horner syndrome. And I'll do a separate video just on Horner syndrome. There's a lot to talk about with Horner syndrome. But basically, it's part of what developmentally, whenever your eyes are developing in utero, it's sympathetic innervation. So we have sympathetic, your fight or flight response, sympathetics. Sympathetic innervation is what kind of starts to stimulate pigment deposition and it darkens your iris, basically, is when you have a normal amount of sympathetic innervation. Genetics go into it as well, but that's what the sympathetic system does. So if you lose your sympathetics, which happens in Horner syndrome, there's a ton of reasons why you could lose that, then you'll end up with one eye that's a lighter color than the other. And that's a sign of like congenital Horner syndrome, where you have a little baby that doesn't develop that has one iris that's darker than the other. The lighter colored iris is probably going to be the abnormal one. It could be a Horner syndrome. And so it's the iris is, it's such a fascinating structure, and there's a lot of different things that can go awry with the iris. One of the most interesting ones is a disease called aniridia. And this is actually a part of my ophthalmology fun fact for today. So aniridia is an absence of the iris. You can be born without an iris. And there are genetic diseases that can cause a congenital absence of an iris. And it's very interesting because you look at these people with aniridia, and they have like a little tiny nub of an iris, but in general, it's completely gone. You can imagine the type of problems that causes. So a lot of light sensitivity, because again, you don't have an iris that constricts to limit the amount of light that comes into the eye. So you get a lot of light sensitivity. Generally, the vision is not very good if you have aniridia, if you're born with aniridia. Usually about a 2200 level is kind of the max that you can get. Because you need to be able to modulate the amount of light coming into the eye to allow you to have a better acuity. But also, when you're born with aniridia, so like congenital cases of aniridia, they're often associated with other problems in the eye as well. So they have what's called foveal hypoplasia. We're kind of getting in the weeds here, but I told you, I was just going to spitball this iris stuff. Foveal hypoplasia comes along with aniridia, where the fovea, I think we've talked about the fovea, it's right in the center of your retina, where light comes in, it gets focused right on the fovea. That's what gives you your perfect crystal clear vision. Well, people with aniridia will often not have a fovea. They have foveal hypoplasia. The fovea doesn't develop, so they don't have that ability to have perfect crystal clear vision. And then another kind of wrinkle to the aniridia discussion is we talked about how some people can have, I think the vast majority of aniridia cases are congenital aniridia. Genetic. Most of it's congenital, but the majority of aniridia is familial. That's what I'm trying to say. But a smaller percentage can be just sporadic. You have a mutation that causes you to have aniridia. And so one thing we're taught in ophthalmology residency, is, and someone who comes in with aniridia or a child has aniridia, because typically they present very early in life, right, with this. If there's no family history whatsoever, you know what you have to do? I'm just quizzing you all. Like very few of you are going to know this, but you got to check. You got to get a CT scan. You got to check for a deadly kidney tumor called a Wilms tumor. A Wilms tumor. It goes along with the type of mutation that causes sporadic cases of aniridia. So we're talking about like no familial component to it. They just had a mutation that causes aniridia. Well, it can also cause this deadly kidney tumor. That's like a, if you don't get that question right on the boards, like you fail the boards. There's like certain questions like that. You have to know the answer because it, you could save someone's life or conversely, result in the death of someone if you miss something. So sporadic aniridia, Wilms tumor. Now you can all pass your ophthalmology boards if you want to shell out a couple $1,000s to take those. Let's see, what else can I tell you about our, here's what I would recommend you all do. Go on, there's this fantastic website that I used to be the editor-in-chief of, I will say, in residency. It's called iRounds. iRounds.org. All right, check it out. They've not paid me. This is free advertising for iRounds because I love it so much. They have amazing photos. They have probably world famous for ophthalmology photography. And so go in and just look at iris photos. Look at, if you're ever thinking, man, my eye color sucks, go and look at iris colors, iris photos. And see how beautiful the iris can be. All right, under a microscope. And you can also, they have photos of all kinds of different diseases as well. So if you want to look at someone, what does aniridia look like? Go check out irounds.org. All right. That's as much as we're going to get into with the iris. The other thing is, one thing my mentor, Tom Oding at the University of Iowa told me, is in surgery, you never mess with the iris, which I agree with. So to all the ophthalmology residents and med students listening, just stay away from the iris in the operating room. Don't mess with the iris. Some of the advice I'm going to give you on this podcast is going to appeal to like 7 people. All right. So I hope you don't, if you're like, I'm probably not ever going to be inside an eye. All right. Then don't worry about it. All right. But now, you can tell your eye doctor, hey, be careful. You go inside my eye. Don't mess with the iris. All right. Dr. Glockham Fleckin told me you stay away from that thing. All right. Don't want to mess with it. There's other things that we can look at with the iris, other things that I look for, especially on like seeing patients with diabetes who maybe they have a pretty severe diabetes. They've had diabetes for like 30, 40 years. Sometimes you can get neovascularization of the iris, where we see big vessels that start to grow into the iris. That's unusual. That's a sign that the eye is ischemic, that there's severe retinopathy. So we always watch out for that. So it's a fascinating structure. But the bottom line is, and this is the don't do that eyeball tip of the week. Yep, you guessed it. Don't change your eye color, people. God, don't do it. Don't do it, because if you do it, you're going to end up on a TikTok and I'm going to get mad. I'm going to be very upset. And which I actually haven't made a TikTok about this topic. Probably by the time this episode comes out, I will have a video about eye color change. But anyway, that is, let's see, what else? I wanted to, so the episode of where I talked about diabetic retinopathy just dropped, and a lot of people were horrified about my discussion about injections in the eye, which again, that's usually the response from people, like, what, you're going to put what in my eye? So I want to just reassure all of you thinking that, like, don't be scared of the eye injections. So most of the time it's retina specialists that do those eye injections. They do like 60 of them every day. It's not a big deal. They're very good at it, and they have ways to do it where it's totally painless. All right. Or maybe just like a little tiny poke, a little burn when they put the numbing medicine on there, but they're so good at it. And it's an amazing treatment. And we'll talk about macular degeneration at some point. But those injections, those medications that they put into the back of the eye can be used to treat so many different things. So don't be scared of injections. Let's see, did I get to everything? I think that's everything. So thank you all. Hope you enjoyed this on your commute or wherever you're listening. I'm your host, Will Flannery, also known as Dr. Glockum Flecken. Special thanks to my producers, Aaron Corney, Rob Goldman, and Shanti Brook. Editor and engineer Jason Portizo. Our music is by Omer Benzvi. Thank you so much. And give me your, again, you can let me know either in like YouTube comments or on your comment on your favorite podcasting app or where else? knockknockhi@human-content.com. That's knockknockhi@human-content.com. You can reach out to me and let me know what you want to hear about. What are your burning eyeball questions? Ooh, that would be, I got to do something with that. Burning, because that's like multiple meanings there. Burning eyeball questions. If you have burning eyeballs, you could have chlamydia. I'll leave it at that. Thank you so much, everyone. We'll see you next time.